Have you guys seen this? It looks so good. We have a picnic table up here. I'm sorry if you are way over here. You'll have to come afterwards to get a look at this. If you were with us the first week of this series, we had a picnic table up here that was built that week by Devin Kelly and his five-year-old assistant, Brooks Kaplan. And then the week after that, Craig Henderson, Lauren Perkins, her four-year-old daughter Claire painted it turquoise. That's what it looked like last Sunday. And then this week, one of our freshman girls, Addison Johnston, took this home to her garage. There she is in the picture. And she designed this whole thing and chose the verse that is on it. She wanted to choose a verse she felt captured this sermon series. And so it's 1 Peter 4:8-9. And it says, "Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without complaint." And so I think this is pretty incredible. It's been this project that has had a lot of intergenerational hands on it. And going into this next week, we need some people who could come. It's not as exciting, but we need to put the seal on it so that when it goes outside in our little island, triangle, tree area in the parking lot, that it doesn't just, you know, collapse and wash away after the first hurricane. So if any of you have time this week and would like to come do some coats of the sealer, let me know after church. I'd love to give some of that to you to do. And we will have it with us again this next week as we continue our series on hospitality. When I was in seminary, I had a preaching professor that said to me, if a sermon isn't to you, it's not your sermon to give. So in other words, if it's a sermon that may be good, but it's not something you personally need to hear, it's not convicting to you, probably it's someone else's to preach, not yours. And so as we have gone through this series, I think this has been absolutely true in the sense that this every week has been to me, because I am not good at hospitality. This is something that I am learning and growing in right alongside of you. And I am an introvert. So I do not walk in a room and look for people I don't know. I'm going in a room looking to see who I know, who am I going to be comfortable with. I don't get on airplanes thinking it would be the best day ever if I could sit next to a stranger that wants to talk for the next 3 hours. So those things are hard for me. They take energy from me. I talked to somebody after the last service said to me, they go get their hair done and they just tell the person straight up, like, I'm not going to talk to you, so you can go ahead and talk to the other people around us. Because that's how introverts feel. Like, it takes energy. Sometimes I get to the end of the day and like my word box is just empty. I have nothing left to say. But hospitality is not just for extroverts. It's not just for people with big houses. It's for all of us. And so how to take who God has created you to be and create it space that is hospitable, space that welcomes others, is the challenge and the call to us as we seek to be people who follow Jesus. If we are not practicing hospitality in our lives, it may be because we don't understand what it really is, that hospitality goes much further than just a welcome at a door or a handshake. It may be that our lives are just too busy, that things are too crowded to make space for other people. Or it may be that if we are not practicing hospitality, that we really have a little bit of resistance inside of us to follow Jesus in a way that it really is countercultural. It's a countercultural Christian practice today. And so we've said already in this series that hospitality is about treating others like friends and not strangers, looking at someone and treating them like they are the most interesting person in the room, making space for them that says, you are welcome here, I have room for you in my life. Hospitality also is something that we have to prioritize, something that we have to make space for. And when we don't have any margin in our lives, when we are just running full speed ahead, which has really been this whole past week for me, we miss those divine appointments. We miss those opportunities where God puts people in our path for a reason. And so we have to practice hospitality. We have to prioritize it and realize too that it's not just about creating physical space around us for others, but it's also about creating that internal space, that space where we can get personal and make connections and invite people to really know who we are. Today, in this sermon, we're going to take all of this one step further, and we're going to talk about who is at our table. We're going to talk about the circles that we are in and how God calls us to expand those. And so we're going to start with Jesus right after the resurrection. He appeared to his disciples, and he gave them these words that we call the Great Commission. And so in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, Jesus says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." And then, in case they might forget, right before Jesus' ascension, when he went back to heaven, he says it again in a different way. In Acts 1:8, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so Jesus is telling his disciples, he's telling those people who are following him, that to do that, they need to go be witnesses and to make disciples pretty much of everyone. In this verse in Acts, we see these different circles of influence. And Jesus starts with Jerusalem. That's where their feet were. They were in Jerusalem when Jesus is talking to them. So he's telling them to go out and do this right where you are. But then he expands the circle a little wider and says, don't just stay here in the city. Go out to Samaria, to Judea. Those are the next geographical regions around them. And then he tells them, don't stop there. You're going to need to cross some borders. You're going to need to go further out to the ends of the earth. And so to be a Jesus follower means that we seek to replicate our lives after Jesus. To be a Jesus follower means that we replicate our lives in what Jesus did, in how he lived, and who he cared about. We try to replicate his tone, his spirit, and his priorities. And what I've realized as I was preparing for this sermon, really this whole series, is that you cannot get through a gospel without hearing story after story after story of Jesus offering hospitality to others and also accepting the hospitality that people offer to him. And it's not just to those people that are in his inner circle. And he has an inner circle. He has people closest to him, but he doesn't stay there. Jesus welcomes everyone to his table, crossing all kinds of different cultural divides and boundaries. And so if you've read any of these gospels, if you've been in church this past year, you've heard some of these stories. And if you don't know them, this would be a great thing to have this summer, is to just sit down and read through a gospel, hear and read the words for yourselves. But as we remember, Jesus' table included tax collectors and church leaders and the poor and the rich, the demon-possessed, the prostitutes, the adulterers, the deformed, and the sick. And then we have all kinds of stuff about the Jews and the Samaritans, which we did a deep dive in about a month ago, talking about these two different groups with this deep history of tension and dislike. They were divided by race and politics and religion. And we have that story of the good Samaritan, the Samaritan who takes time to cross those divides and to care for someone in need. There is the prodigal son who's welcomed back home after rejecting his father and living a life that's far from God. There's the Samaritan woman at the well who Jesus accepts a drink from and tells that this living water is for you as well as everyone else. There is Zacchaeus, the hated tax collector, that sees Jesus from a tree. And then Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, I am going to your house today." There's Mary and Martha, the bleeding woman, the woman who pours perfume on Jesus' feet, the children that Jesus welcomes when the disciples, the other people, are trying to push them away. And Jesus washes his disciples' feet. Jesus saw past political and racial and gender and economic divides. He gave respect and dignity and accepted what others offered him. And he wasn't so busy that he couldn't be interrupted. He saw the God-given value in every person that he encountered. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 14, Jesus is eating, sharing a meal with some Pharisees, religious leaders, and during that meal, he makes a comment about the resurrection. And in response to that, a person at the table says, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." So it was a common belief by religious leaders that the resurrection would only be for the Jews. And so Jesus dispels this idea that God has an inner circle. And he tells this story. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 to 24. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' And still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. And the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you've ordered has been done, but there's still room.' And the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. And I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" So in this parable, there is a man who throws a party and he invites the people that were his friends. He invites the people that were in his inner circle. They were a lot like him, but they rejected his invitation. And when that happens, he immediately begins to widen the invite, to widen his table. He goes out and he finds people outside of his neighborhood, those that are outside of his circle, and really anyone that will say yes to coming to the table. In this story, the very first guests that are invited represent the nation of Israel. And Jesus is telling the story to illustrate that he would be rejected by the Jews. He also alludes in this story that God's love is meant for those outside of Israel as well. God's table includes Gentiles, and it widens to include people that these leaders would have considered unclean and unwelcome. Following Jesus means including people at our table that are not just those in our inner circle. It's expanding who's there to include people of different economic and social, political, racial, cultural, ability backgrounds. It means welcoming people who don't have it all together. It means welcoming people that maybe have a life that's a mess, people that aren't living perfectly. And not only welcoming, but really believing that each of those people has something to offer, that God has something to teach us from those who have different experiences and perspectives. Romans 15:7 says, "Welcome one another as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God." We can all learn from others who are different from us. A few years back, there was a documentary team that went into the Czech Republic looking for stories to tell. And as they were asking, people kept telling them the same name. They kept hearing it repeated, this woman named Ludmila. And so we're going to watch this video because I think Ludmila shares her life with us in a way that gives us a beautiful picture of hospitality. Let's watch this.
In my lifetime, I have experienced the rule of 2 totalitarian regimes. One was the German Nazis, and the second was the Russian Communists. The Word of God says 366 times, "Do not be afraid, do not fear." So we weren't afraid. After 40 years of communism here, the fact that many believers left the country, the Czech Republic has been called the most atheist place in Europe. It breaks my heart. My name is Ludmila Harirova. I'm 82 years old. I have 7 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. My husband went to heaven in 2002. The Lord Jesus told me now he is my husband and he wants to continue to use me. He wants me to be his representative, his ambassador. Next to the door of my house, there is a bronze sign that says, "The Embassy of the Kingdom of Heaven." My home is an extension of Christ's kingdom. It's a place where people can come and look for help if they're in trouble or have a need. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. That is the atmosphere I want here at the embassy. The visitors that I get, some of them have called ahead to let me know they're coming, and some just come. The ones that haven't called are usually the best ones, because I'm not prepared for them. Everything that happens is dependent on the Lord. Today, a dear friend came by. She's a widow, and her family really are struggling financially. Whenever people enter this house, I just lay everything else aside and spend time with them. I have learned to recognize the inner voice of the Holy Spirit and give Him room to use me. The Holy Spirit likes to take control. Often I listen to myself and I'll say things I wouldn't even think about. There is no problem to deal with the issues that people bring when they come here because the Holy Spirit is here. Amen. It's an honor for me to be an instrument of God's love and His wisdom every day. We often don't realize that all believers are called to be representatives of the kingdom of heaven. We are all ambassadors. The Lord Jesus didn't choose to do it any other way. He simply entrusted us.
I think all of us can be learners from Ludmila's story. This is a woman who speaks a different language, and certainly her life experience and her day-to-day life looks very different than most of ours. But I think that she understands this idea of what it means to widen her table. I just loved that part where she talked about being ready for making room for people that are planned and people who are unexpected. And when she said, you know, sometimes the unexpected ones are the best because I haven't prepared. And that's where there's room for the Holy Spirit to work. And as she listens for the Holy Spirit, she is present, puts things aside to be with the people that God brings to her, sometimes people she knows and sometimes strangers. When I think of times in my own life when I have experienced remarkable hospitality, many times that has been when I have traveled to another country. I think back a few years ago, I was leading our high school mission trip to Costa Rica, and I was with a group. We were in the city over a Sunday. And so we planned to take our group and go to a local church. They were not expecting us or planning for us. But when you show up as 30 Americans, you don't go unnoticed. And so we were in this church to worship, and the pastor got up to preach, to speak. But before starting, he looked around the congregation and said, "Who here can speak English?" And he waited until someone raised their hand, and he had them come up on the platform, handed them a microphone, and told them that they would be translating that day. And he proceeded to go sentence by sentence, speaking and then waiting for the translator to speak in English so that we would be included. I mean, can you imagine? The sermon was twice as long. I don't know what the people in that church thought, but we were so graciously received, and that was such an act of hospitality that it was overwhelming. Right before the pandemic shut down, our plans that year were to take high school students to Ghana. And so I went in February on a trip to make arrangements for the trip that would be in the summer. And when we were there in Ghana, we were hosted by Leo and his wife Priscilla. Many of you know Leo. He was here a few years ago and he preached with us. He works for IJM. He's actually a seminary student now at Fuller in California. And he often watches our live stream. So Leo, if you're watching, hello from us. But we arrived and Leo and Priscilla gave us their car and driver for the week. And it was their only car. They still had work. They still had kids that had to the activities and the things they needed to do. But they gave us what we needed to get around, to be hosted well and graciously. And I was overwhelmed by their hospitality, that they would be inconvenienced in such a way to make our lives easier and our trip better. Biblical hospitality is countercultural because our world tells us to look after ourselves. Our world tells us to make sure that we have enough first. And we don't like to be inconvenienced. And so I think our lives are becoming more narrow and less wide. And we tend to have people in our circles that look and think and act like we do. And we're spending less and less time with people who don't. But I think right now, this moment, is also a time when we as the church have an incredible opportunity. We have an incredible opportunity as the church to be who we are, Jesus followers, and to demonstrate how people can have authentic and caring relationships with people who are on opposite political sides, people who have different opinions, and people whose lives don't look like ours. There is an evangelical New Testament scholar, D.A. Carson, who says, "The church is made up of natural enemies. What binds us together is not common education, common race, common income levels, common politics, common nationality, common accents, common jobs, or anything else of that sort." He says, "Christians come together because they have all been saved by Jesus Christ and owe him a common allegiance. Christians are a band of natural enemies who love one another for Jesus' sake. Our unity is found together in Christ. We can widen our tables because we share an allegiance to the most important thing. It's a picture of the great banquet. Widening our tables does not mean that we change our theology. It doesn't mean that we can't have opinions. It doesn't mean that we ignore differences. Widening the table means that we create hospitable space for others that don't see the world the way we do. It means having a certain humbleness to know that whatever our age, God still has things for us to learn. And it means seeing past what makes us different, to search and to find that God in one another. Each of us are God bearers. Creating hospitable space means thinking things like thinking about the jokes that we tell or the things that we post or the side comments we make that in subtle and not so subtle ways can communicate there isn't space here for you. It means not assuming that everyone in the room thinks the way we do and caring to get to know people who don't. In her book on hospitality, Jen Schmidt says this. She says, there's a reason we prefer sharing the table with people who look and talk and work and live the same way we do. We prefer the safety, the sameness, and the simple because it adds up to security. She says, widening the table to a wealth of new discoveries and shared perspectives is the way that we most vividly reflect the true kingdom of God and function as the whole body of Christ. So following Jesus means that we widen who we consider to be our people. This is when the church is the church at its best. Jesus wasn't afraid of interacting with people who others held at a distance, and he wasn't afraid of the pushback that he received. Widening our table doesn't mean compromising the truth of the gospel with something that's more palatable, something that everybody is going to agree with, but it's when we know who we are that we can welcome others who don't share the same convictions. That is what being on mission looks like. When we are on mission, widening our table becomes a way for us to replicate Jesus, to replicate the life of Jesus to others in our world. So I'll admit that when we do this, there sometimes can be some awkwardness. And so, at the beginning of this series, we said we were going to talk about hospitality. Wendy, our new children's director, sitting in row three, she sent me this meme. She texted this to me, and so I'm going to throw this up for you to read. When your pastor preaches on being friends to the people nobody wants to be friends with, and suddenly the whole congregation wants to shake your hand after the service, right? There's an element of this here. You can make this really awkward and weird, or as a people, we can do our best to not make it weird and to not allow the awkwardness to keep us from initiating conversation, initiating welcome, and initiating relationships. So I am challenging myself this week, and I'm challenging you to take a look at our lives and to ask this question, who is missing from my table? And if we realize that we don't have community with a lot of people that are different than us, to ask what is holding us back? Because I think as we consider together how God is calling us to be a church here at MPC, to be a church in our world, that we would love people to love Jesus Christ, like our mission says, that we would also be called to be a church that lives out this verse that Addison chose for us. This verse in 1 Peter that talks about loving each other deeply and to offer hospitality. These are things that are difficult. They're easy to say and harder to live out. But I am learning alongside of you that to live pursuing a life of Jesus means sometimes doing things that take us out of our comfort zone. And so I'm going to pray. Please join me. We're going to ask God to help us to do this. And then we will close with our final song. God, we are here. We are showing up, offering you our lives, and we know we have lots to learn. Help us, whether we are introverts or extroverts, to use and take what you have given us, who you've created us to be, to welcome others, to invite others into our spaces, whether it's at church or at home, at work, in our neighborhoods. Help us to be the people that love others well. Help us to pursue you with all that we are. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand and let's sing together our closing song.